Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, this is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
We got campers in Bozeman. We got campers in Missoula. We got campers in Kalispell. No, not fancy campers. I'm not promoting an upcoming RV sale. As much as I love promoting upcoming RV sales, because I love campers, love boats, love getting out in the great outdoors. No, I'm talking about people camping out in the streets, camping out in back alleys, camping out on the front lawn of a homeless shelter in Missoula. Headlines from all across the state now. And it reminded me this morning, I have got to share this video of this homeless encampment in Missoula. Seriously, driving down Broadway in Missoula, it shocked even me. And I've spent a lot of time in Missoula. I love the city of Missoula. All my kids were born in Missoula, went to college in Missoula. My wife grew up in Missoula, back in the day, especially when Missoula was still a normal town before the out-of-state NGO crowd moved in, before the radical campus crowd took over. Missoula is really like a tale of two cities where, you know, it's like if you're down to in portions of downtown, you're like, where in the world am I? Am I in Portland, Oregon? It literally looks like Portland, Oregon when you drive down Broadway in Missoula. And the crime statistics back it up, too, when you see the transients that are raping, violent crime, drugs, theft, you name it, burglary, I mean, across the board. So it looks like Portland in more ways than just the tent city, that is set up on the front lawn of this homeless shelter. But yeah, Missoula is kind of a tale of two cities because it's like, man, you get out to the Target Range area, you get out past Mullen Road, you get out in the South Hills, you get outside of Missoula, and you're like, man, this is awesome out here. Nice being surrounded by mountains, you know, especially for those of us from eastern Montana. We appreciate a little terrain feature every now and then. And, yeah, man, you got a lot of great features and great folks there, right? You know, you figure, you know, 40% of the population is still solid conservative. In the second largest population center in the state, that's still a lot of good conservative folks that are there. And then I think you also got some decent folks who've voted Democrat just because that's what you're supposed to do in Missoula. And even they, I think, are starting to get their eyes open as to the monster that they have helped to create by voting for these liberal Democrats. But I don't know. I don't know. Some of them may never wake up. They'll just keep going down that path. But yeah, let me just share a few headlines for you here real quick. We'll talk more after the break. Even in Libby, Montana, the housing crisis is having an impact. That's from the Montana Free Press. Bozeman asks urban campers to move for an area cleanup. That was NBC Montana. Emergency ordinance on urban camping takes effect in Missoula. That's at NBC Montana and at MontanaTalks.com right now. Missoula City Council votes to close the parks at night. So the transient problem is getting so bad in Missoula, even the Missoula City Council is saying, parks are closed. Shut them down. Thanks, transients.
Here is your Montana news. An elderly man in Red Lodge faces time in prison after pleading guilty to firearm possession in apparent violation of a protective order. James F. Kennedy, 73, had a conflict with a complainant in 2022 that resulted in an order of protection issued. Then later, Kennedy removed a no trespassing sign from the complainant's property. The order expressly prohibited Kennedy from having firearms, but video taken of the sign theft also showed him carrying a gun into his house. Now, officers conducted a warranted search of Kennedy's home and discovered firearms and gun parts, including a short-barrel, privately modified AR-15-style semi-automatic without a serial number. James Kennedy was released pending sentencing, which could be as much as 10 years. That's your Montana News. I'm Travis Lee.
Here's a look at your real weather for Billings and Bozeman. A mix of clouds and sunshine develops today, along with some scattered afternoon showers and thunderstorms. High temperatures will range from the upper 70s in Bozeman to about 83 in Billings. For tonight, still seeing some scattered showers and thunderstorms, mainly before midnight, as temperatures will then drop off to about 52 in the Bozeman area to about 60 in Billings. The outlook for Wednesday does call for some sunny breaks and then some developing showers and storms, especially in the afternoon hours. High temperatures on Wednesday back to about 80 degrees in Bozeman, 83 in Billings. With some of the showers and thunderstorms, especially before midnight Wednesday night, we'll otherwise see low temperatures back down to about 54 in Bozeman to 60 in Billings. Then still seeing more developing showers and storms during the day on Thursday. That's a look at your real weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Country music star Dolly Parton.
Agency, take action now. Text the word HEDGE to the number 989898.
Paid for by Birch Gold Group.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, this is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, this is why we can't have nice things. The other headline I meant to share with you there during that opening montage of headlines, talking about the transient problem, the homeless issue, the housing crisis, and more. You know, multiple cities now looking to crack down in different ways on this transient issue. The one headline that I didn't get to there in the opening montage, though, was a headline out of the Daily Interlake out of Kalispell. Kalispell City Manager Doug Russell announced a package of new measures meant to dissuade homeless people from congregating in public spaces during Monday's city council meeting. Russell said the city would install bars on benches meant to deter people from sleeping on them, disconnect electricity and water at city parks, and consider housing law enforcement in the Depot Park building downtown. So that's just a couple of opening paragraphs from that Daily Interlake story here. Bozeman, I think one of our listeners actually first flagged that one for us earlier in the week on 1450 KMMS Bozeman, that HRDC was doing kind of an area cleanup, so they were asking some of the folks camping out on the streets to move so they could do some cleanup. And then, yeah, now this is a big story out of Missoula here. And we've got this story on our Montana Talks website right now, thanks to our friend Peter Christian with KGVO News. At a meeting that lasted past midnight that went into Tuesday morning, the Missoula City Council voted on a temporary emergency measure to close city parks from 11 p.m. to 5 a.m. KGBO News spoke to Ward 6 City Councilor Sandra Vasica late Tuesday afternoon about the extended public meeting. She said, quote, basically what happened was, in order to comply with the Ninth Circuit Court's Boise decision, we needed to strike some things from our municipal code regarding parks and the hours of parks. So we basically just had to add in something that said we are closing the parks at nighttime. Originally, it was from 11 to 6, but then Daniel Carlino had an amendment to change it to 5 a.m. Vasica said closing the park at night will help discourage the building of semi-permanent tent villages in the city parks. I told you about what I saw driving down Broadway, and I'll post that video on our Montana Talks website later today. But, I mean, that's just what I saw. Driving down Broadway, but I didn't even go through the back alleys and into the city parks and things like that. Better be packing if you are going through the back alleys of Missoula anymore, for sure. Vasica said that closing these parks at night will discourage tent villages. She said, quote, I was supportive of this motion because it will discourage campers from coming up with big structures, because once you have a big campsite, then each night you can just keep adding on to it and adding on to it. So this will discourage having actual structures in the park so that we can use our trails and our park system like the property taxpayers that we are. Now, two of the city council members were opposed to closing the parks overnight. So this shows you probably, I guess, who the two most radical leftists are on the city council. Kristen Jordan and Daniel Carlino, Kristen Jordan abstained. Daniel Carlino said that this would be criminalizing homelessness and saying that you can't punish people for just existing. The ordinance is temporary until the city council can find a permanent solution. Anyway, there you go. This is the challenge in and in places like Missoula that they are adopting these Portland-esque policies, and they make it harder on the people who live in these communities, and they make it harder for the people who live in Missoula that might come across tough times and then end up being homeless themselves. Those people have it harder because they're surrounded by this transient, oftentimes criminal element population that wants to go party it up in Missoula because they can just camp out wherever they want to and probably get some free stuff handed to them by the liberal city of Missoula and all of the groups that have propped up. I was trying to explain this, you know, to the kids in the car. I was trying to say, look, there's great organizations that help homeless people, kids. We're not talking about don't help homeless people here. There's organizations like Family Promise in Billings, and they've got other locations across the state as well that help people who are homeless, you know, truly homeless families that don't want to be in that situation, that want to get out of that situation, and they help them get out of that. The Montana Rescue Mission is a program with more accountability built into it when they're serving homeless folks, not just, hey, everybody from Portland, hey, come on in. Yeah, here you go. Here's a bunch of free stuff. Yeah, come whenever you want. Keep doing all the drugs you want. Yeah, keep robbing all the local folks. Keep harassing everybody. While you walk around downtown, no, free stuff will continue. The Missoula model, right? And so anyway, it's just turning into a mess to where even the liberal Missoula City Council is now forced to try to do something, even if just one small thing. See, that's the thing. That you start blocking their access to their parks in Missoula. There's great running trails. Believe me, when I was in ROTC at the University of Montana, we would do 5 milers all over the city of Missoula. There were some great running trails. They'd drop us off on the backside of Mount Sentinel with our rucksacks on. We'd run over the top, crisscross down the backside, come down the Kim Williams Trail back to the UM campus before the rest of the campus was even awake yet. And in fact, I saw it, man, the one little railroad bridge by the Taco John's in Missoula where you could run across the Clark Fork River. They blocked that off, but I used to love running across that one back in the day, especially when it was like 15 degrees and snowing outside and you'd have icicles hanging off of your eyelashes while you were running in downtown Missoula. And of course, we'd just wear our, you know, PT shorts and a t-shirt. That was then. Now I'd be fully covered. That's for
263. That's 406-201-6263. 406-201-6263.
With the Daybreak Ag Report on the Western Ag Network, I'm Lane Nordlund. This week, I'm out in Washington, D.C., where I will be speaking to the 2023 Young Cattlemen's Conference class that has spent the last week traveling the nation learning about every aspect of the cattle industry, from pasture, feedlot, processor, retailer, all the way to the grocery store, and then to the policy side here in Washington, D.C. Now, all of these decisions impact every aspect of the cattle industry, and cattle producers know all too well how important beef trade is, especially in Asian Pacific countries like Japan. Well, that's also an important market for U.S. potato producers in Western Ag Network country and across the nation. This week, USDA and the U.S. Trade Representative's Office is partaking in an agricultural trade mission to Japan. And the National Potato Council CEO Cam Quarles told me just yesterday that the U.S. has had access to the Japanese market for decades, but they do not currently have fresh table stock access to the marketplace, and the Japanese market could be worth hundreds of millions of dollars to the U.S. potato industry.
It's $150 million a year worth of importance for U.S. potato farms. We think the opportunity is tremendous there. The ability to have fresh access to serve their grocery stores, their restaurants, provide high-quality U.S. potatoes, it is well worth all of the time that's going to be consumed in opening that market. You're exactly right. USDA's Undersecretary for Trade, Alexis Taylor, is over there, also with some members of the potato industry this week. They're touring around Japan. They're carrying the message of the importance of them opening their market. We understand it's going to be a tough fight. They've got a very entrenched domestic industry there, but we really think it's worth the battle for family farms in the U.S.
Back in April, Secretary of Agriculture Tom Vilsack spoke with Japan's ministers of agriculture and stressed the importance for more access of U.S. fresh potatoes in the Japanese market. We'll be right back. Superior Livestock Auctions Corn Belt Classic is heading to South Sioux City, Nebraska, June 7th through the 8th, with an offering of over 64,500 head. You can bid visiting SLA TV, Dish Channel 997, and SuperiorClickToBid.com. View the video catalog and also the regions of cattle selling on June 7th and 8th for Superior Livestock Auctions Corn Belt Classic. Visit SuperiorLivestock.com for more.
We're excited to announce that Northwest Farm Credit Services is now AgWest Farm Credit. I'm Nate Riggers, farmer and board chair of AgWest, here to let you know the agricultural financing services we provide, our locations, and the staff you've come to know will remain the same. So our commitment to our customer members is as strong as ever. Grounded by tradition, inspired by possibility. Call or visit agwestfc.com to learn more. Equal opportunity provider and employer, equal housing lender.
We're turning back here on this Wednesday morning. Let's look to USDA's latest crop progress report, which shows that 93% of the U.S. corn crop is planted. As for its condition, just 6% of the corn crop is rated poor to very poor, 30% fair, and 64% good to excellent. And Texas is leading the nation with winter wheat harvest. Just 18% of what is left of their winter wheat crop is being harvested. And nationally, the condition rating of the winter wheat is coming in at 34% poor to very poor, 30% fair, and just 36% good to excellent for the national winter wheat condition. I'm Wayne Northland, Western Ag Network.
Serving the great state of Montana, from the peaks of the Beartooth to the banks of the Clark Fork River, this is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, we had a couple great messages waiting for us here this morning on Montana Talks. One came via email, one came via the Montana Talks app. Lucas in Broadview. Now, I don't think this is what Lucas in Broadview looks like, but for some reason when I read his message, I was thinking of, remember the guy from the History Channel who looked like he smoked a lot of marijuana and was talking about aliens, had the curly hair? You know that guy from the History Channel? I know that's not what Lucas looks like, but for some reason that's the guy I thought of when I read this message. It's a great message from Lucas in Broadview that came in before the show started this morning. Open borders, nuclear threats, record inflation, massive political corruption, treasonous behavior. Oh, we have an election coming up. Look over here, aliens. Yeah, there was a report that came out earlier this week where the government is saying something to the effect of, we found some components of an aircraft here, and it does not appear to be of earthly origin. So, yeah, look over here, aliens. Stop focusing on Joe Biden falling on his face at the Air Force Academy. Nuclear war potential. Look over here. Look over here. Tucker Carlson is back on Twitter, by the way, and was talking about that story and more. Kind of cool. I watched the whole only about 11-minute long segment. Tucker on Twitter. I shared it via Twitter as well, twitter.com/AaronFlint. You can see the whole monologue from Tucker Carlson. Looks just like when he was on Fox News doing one of his monologues there, except it's Tucker on Twitter, suit and tie and everything. I'll play a clip from Tucker Carlson's return to the multimedia environment, shall we say. But first, we also had a message from Nancy in Roundup. Nancy in Roundup said this: I've been after RFK Jr. for over a month on Twitter to go to our southern border, the same one his Uncle Ted reopened in 1965. Well, my pressure worked, Nancy writes. He visited Yuma, Arizona at 2 a.m. in the morning and could not believe what he saw. Nancy says, I posted his video on Twitter, but you can go to his account and see it. I'll have to go check it out. I know I follow Nancy on Twitter. I'll have to go check out that, find that tweet and give it a retweet there. So, Nancy, thanks for flagging that one. Nancy also added this. I went to Billings yesterday and today to shop. Watermelons are $8.98 now. and we're supposed to feed thousands of illegals. I am sick of this BS. That's what Nancy had to tell us there, talking about the same open borders that Lucas in Broadview was talking about there as well. Let's see. Bruce in Ennis. So close the parks and force them out on the streets? That's a good question there. Yeah, talking about the Missoula City Council shutting the parks at night so the homeless encampments can't destroy the parks in Missoula. Will they just force them out on the streets potentially? Or, I mean, hopefully the intention is to push them back to Portland, to force them back out onto the streets of Portland eventually. Anyway, that'd be my goal if I was on the Missoula Council.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. Two more Republicans joined the presidential race, North Dakota Governor Doug Burgum and former Vice President Mike Pence, with a video announcement this morning.
God is not done with America yet. And together, we can bring this country back. And the best days for the greatest nation on earth are yet to come. God bless you. And God bless the United States of America.
Former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie announced his campaign yesterday. Pope Francis is hospitalized in Rome for abdominal surgery.
It's 2 years since he had 13 inches of his colon removed because of an inflammation. The Vatican says he's suffering from a recurrent, painful and worsening constriction. The pontiff was seen to be in good spirits at his Wednesday morning general audience in St. Peter's Square.
Fox's Jonathan Savage. The Pope is 86 years old now. He was elected Pope 10 years ago. Stock futures are mixed, pretty much flat ahead of the opening bell on Wall Street. America's listening to Fox News.
All right. Yeah, we got a big lineup coming up for you here this morning on Montana Talks. We should have some gaps where we can open up the phone lines to anything and everything you want to talk about as well. But coming up here in about 5 minutes, we've got the national. Did they confirm? Actually, I should make sure they confirm. I think they confirmed they were going to join us. If not, I'll tell you what we know and what we've gathered. But I reached out to the National Weather Service office in Billings because, you know, I know there were some of you who had your basements flooded. There were intersections that were flooded last weekend on the west end of Billings, given all the rainfall and the, you know, city water systems kind of being overwhelmed. Well, there is a lot of rain in the forecast over the next several days as well, as you've likely been hearing about. And even the city of Billings sent out a kind of a, well, you could call it a warning message, or maybe it's a preparedness message. So we'll tell you what they had to say from the city of Billings. But yeah, they said that this will create a chance for flash flooding. Heavy rain and flooding are expected to continue through Sunday. So tell you a little bit more about what the city of Billings has to say. But what did Jeff Essman say via Twitter? Let me see. Did I print that one up? It's probably in my stack somewhere here. Let me just go into my Twitter page for you right now. Twitter.com/AaronFlint. I need to go there anyway so I can find that tweet from Nancy in Roundup. But anyway, Jeff Essman said something to the effect of, I thought I shared that one here. Maybe I got to go in and retweet that one as well. Anyway, he basically said something to the effect of that he's concerned. He read the story that KTVQ television did about potential flooding concerns for later in the week. And his concern was that we could potentially, because of the saturation of the groundwater, that could we see something like a flood of 1937 in parts of Billings, Montana? That's what Jeff Essman had to say. He's just throwing the question out there. So I'd be interested in hearing what the National Weather Service office out of Billings has to say. You might recall, especially if you live in Paradise Valley, like our friend Rydon John and others, or those of you listening in Red Lodge this morning, those of you listening in Sweetgrass County, Stillwater County, you might recall it was about 1 year ago. Remember the massive floods that we saw last year that took out roads, took out more. I'd be interested in hearing what, like, Tom Kuntz down in Red Lodge has to say about all this as well. But, you know, with all this more rainfall coming in. Now, that I would assume that we don't have the 90-degree temperatures like we saw last year on top of the rainfall. That was the kind of the real scary combo that, you know, you had rain not only saturating things, but then you had the high temperatures that were melting all the snowpack at the same time. So that's what sent that rush of water down from the mountains. So anyway, I think we've got the folks from the National Weather Service on after this. If not, we'll tell you what all we're tracking from our perch here on the top floor of the DoubleTree Hotel downtown Billings. What we're pulling in from social media, info coming from the city and elsewhere. So jump right back into it right after this.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
There was a phrase used in the early 80s that few probably still remember. It was Japan Inc. In the midst of our economic malaise of that time, we looked across the ocean to our west and saw an economy that seemed to be taking over, flooding our markets with their cars and electronics, and even buying up real estate on Manhattan. Many envied and called for copying their focused approach to economic growth. Today, that phrase is forgotten. Japan went into a deep economic slump in the early 90s, and it hasn't shaken off its torpor to this day. And besides, we're too busy looking at China these days to even notice. But China's recent problems are causing many to rethink the once confident projection of their economy becoming the world's biggest. To say that COVID was not kind to their economy would be an understatement, but its challenges go deeper than that. Mountains of debt, stagnant workforce growth, and a dramatic decline in its political support of new investment are a few of the reasons why. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, I think it's next week will mark officially 1 year since that massive flooding that hit, Yellowstone National Park near Gardner, Montana, the Paradise Valley, Red Lodge. Remember, we had entrances to Yellowstone basically blocked off, one near Red Lodge, one near Gardner, because of all that historic flooding that we saw a little under 1 year ago. And, of course, you know, there was ag infrastructure wiped out, Carbon County, Stillwater County. Lots of folks felt the impacts of that one. But as recent as last week, given all the heavy rainfall that we saw last week and on through the weekend, I mean, I had neighbors in Billings that were flooded by all of the you know, saturated groundwater as well. They had their basements flooded. I think I was, thankfully, we had a sump pump in our house that was doing its job. My mom was nice enough to check on the house for us while we were in Missoula for the weekend, and she said, I keep hearing this buzzing sound. It sounds like the garage door keeps opening up, but apparently that was our sump pump doing its job and pumping that water out and away from the house. So that saved our basement, I think, and we'll pray that it holds up again here, because it sounds like there's a lot more rain yet to come here later in the week, especially for our listeners in the Billings area, where there's concerns of flash flooding. We've got now with us on the phone lines Bob Setzensand with the National Weather Service office in Billings. Bob is a meteorologist with the National Weather Service. Bob, thanks for being with us here this morning.
Oh, thank you, Aaron. Good to be here.
Well, what do you got coming for us?
Yeah, so we're stuck in this pattern. We're looking at another chance of showers and thunderstorms today. Today it's probably going to be more on the isolated side, but tomorrow we're really concerned because the storms look like they'll be more widespread in coverage. And so we do have a flood watch for Thursday afternoon into Thursday night, and that's for a good chunk of south central Montana down into Sheridan County, Wyoming. And that's for the potential for thunderstorms to drop 1 to 2 inches of rain, and even heavier amounts are possible in a localized manner. And that could cause flash flooding, so people really need to be concerned, be prepared for it. It could cause rapid water rises, wash down roads, there could be plugged culverts that flooded basements, et cetera. So we're still in this pattern. We still have to be concerned about flash flooding. And like I said, the storm coverage should become more widespread Thursday, probably more widespread storm coverage on Friday and Saturday as well. And I did not forget our folks in southeast Montana, out near like Miles City, Baker, Ekalaka, et cetera. They'll probably get a round of storms Friday and on Saturday as well.
So they could be seeing some of the similar impacts there. So basically you're talking about, you know, the rain that we're going to see. Is it going to hit, you know, majority of the whole state, or are we largely looking at like the Beartooth front on through Billings and into southeast Montana?
Yes, it looks like it's mainly across this, at least for like the first part here. So Thursday, that's especially going to be across central Montana. And then when we get into Friday and Saturday, that's going to be across more of central and eastern Montana.
All right. I know the city of Billings is taking this pretty serious here. They sent out a message about the incoming storm. This came out yesterday about 4:30 in the. This came out Tuesday about 4:30 in the afternoon. More rain is on the way. The incoming storms have the potential to be as significant as last weekend's rainfall that caused flooding. Heavy rain and flooding are expected to continue through Sunday. They did say that local ditch companies have been notified and have agreed to turn off or reduce water flow to make room for storm water. Because I imagine that's probably what happened on the west end of Billings in particular, where you have the, you know, those water ditches that, you know, once they get saturated and then the groundwater gets saturated, that's why people saw basements get flooded, et cetera.
Yeah, I mean, the problem is when you just have so much water come down in such a short amount of time, you're most likely going to have problems.
Yeah.
You know, if anything's, you know, the ditches are clogged, drains are clogged, et cetera, that's when you'll really see those problems. So,
Jeff Essman shared via Twitter, he was reading the story out of KTVQ television. They basically covered this press release that the city sent yesterday. City officials warn of potential second round of flooding headed to Billings. Jeff said this via Twitter, a big rain on the ground that is already saturated from a storm a few days ago could repeat the 1937 flood that damaged downtown Billings. Last week's flood was slow and the detention ponds worked and the BBWA banks held. If the next one is a fast flood, we may not be so lucky. Sounds like that's why they're doing everything they can to try to, you know, make sure that these ditches, aren't, saturated heading into it.
That's certainly for that's more their domain.
Yeah, that's right.
But yeah, I'll just say that yes, the environment is favorable for more flash flooding. It's impossible to say exactly where it will hit. We think it will be somewhere in our area. The potential is there. It could be Billings. It could also be other communities as well. But the chance is greater, especially Thursday and Friday and Saturday when we're expecting more widespread storm coverage.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see if others are saying that it could repeat the 1937 flood that damaged downtown Billings. But I know a lot more folks might be saying, could we see once again what we saw kind of like last summer, but seemed like we had much warmer temperatures combined with the rainfall 1 year ago.
So the thing with the event last summer, that was a combination of heavy rain in the mountains and snowmelt in the mountains. And it's just a different situation this year because we don't have as much snow in the mountains and a lot of this rain is happening away from the mountains. So.
That's good to hear.
Should be a different, it's a bit of a different scenario than last year. I will say in terms of, you know, last year a big concern was river flooding and stream flooding. We are concerned about small streams if they get under a thunderstorm and there's flash flooding from that. But on the rivers, they're handling it better this time around. The Mussel Shell is a concern. The Mussel Shell River up near Shawmut in eastern Wheatland County and Levina in Golden Valley County, those areas are close to flooding. We do have a flood watch for the Mussel Shell River in those areas. But so far they haven't really quite flooded. They're just close, so it's something to be aware of. But overall, the area rivers, the Yellowstone River has handled this round of rain better than it did last year.
Yeah, they've got a bigger path carved out after last year's flooding as well. But yeah, that was just crazy last year. I mean, seeing entire houses like in Gardner floating down the river. So folks definitely still remember that one. Bob Setzensand with the National Weather Service office in Billings, covering all the way from Park County in the Livingston area over to the North Dakota and the Wyoming borders. Thanks again for being with us here this morning. Before we wrap up,
thank
here,
you, Aaron.
Yeah, what else is the water cooler conversation around the state at the National Weather Service offices?
I would say the flooding is really taking, that's really the big story, the big concern right now. There is a small, chance of some severe thunderstorms on Thursday. It's a small chance. There could be some strong winds and hail, with thunderstorms, but that does not look like a widespread severe thunderstorm threat tomorrow. Tomorrow it's much more of a widespread general thunderstorm and heavy rain threat.
Well, and then, looking over the course of the summer, are we going to grow everything up? Everything gets green. We grow the tall grass in June, and then we dry it all out in July and burn it all up in August. Is that the pattern that we might see here?
Well, it's kind of early to say. The outlook here, so we're looking wetter than normal through the third week of June. And even through the end of June, it's overall their outlook is for above normal precipitation through the end of the month. So, time will tell later on, but, at least this first part of the summer is looking pretty wet.
All right. Bob Setson saying great to chat with you. And, we booked you at the last minute. Thanks for joining us here last minute. And obviously you were well prepared for a whole host of different topics of conversation. So thanks for your time this morning.
All right. Anytime. Thank you, Aaron.
Yeah, likewise. Likewise. If you and your friends at the National Weather Service ever have important information you need to get out, we try to monitor your social media feeds and get your press releases. But, hey, feel free to just even call that same studio number you just now called if you got important information to get out. And we'll figure out a way to get you on the air, that's for sure. All right. 406-294-0970 is the number for you. After the Hannity commentary, I've got a lot of stuff that I can share with you here. I definitely wanted to get that important weather information out first. We talked about Tucker Carlson. Back now on the multimedia platform, but now he's Tucker on Twitter. What else should we share with you here after the break? Ted Cruz, Texas Senator Ted Cruz, going after New York City for their crack pipe vending machines. Let's see. What else? Oh, DeSantis and Newsom fight over illegal alien flights to California and much more. And you can call in as well right after this.
Your morning cup of Sean. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
There's no words that I can use that will ever convince you. If you start comparing and contrasting the document investigation into Donald Trump, riddled with leaks, FBI photographs. Where's the photographs from Joe Biden's four locations, except for the one we have of his Corvette in his garage? That's it. The Biden DOJ is now going to charge Biden's chief political opponent, Donald Trump, with the same crime that Biden is under investigation for? Well, they can't do that, which is why I'm convinced that I'm right. And ultimately, they're going to move towards, you know, some process crime, obstruction crime, whatever. It'll be, be trumped up charges, pun intended. This is what we'd expect from a banana republic. This is not our country.
The conservative underground meets later today on the Sean Hannity Show.
Let's face it, talking about life insurance is never easy. But after we watched a close friend lose her husband with no insurance, we decided that wasn't going to happen to our family.
Yeah, but shopping for life insurance can be almost as difficult as talking about it.
But then we heard about Ethos Life Insurance. They're a new kind of life insurance, built for people on a busy schedule who don't have time for unnecessary doctor's visits, fine print, or hidden fees. You know, who want to keep it simple.
I couldn't believe how easy it was. We answered a few basic questions, and within minutes, we had an estimate of what it would cost and what sort of policy made sense for us.
I never imagined life insurance could be so affordable.
And accessible.
The peace of mind knowing that our future is secure, it just removes a lot of the fear around getting older and...
Yeah, the unexpected.
I'm glad we talked about it.
I'm glad we went with ethoslife.com.
Go to
to 64,000.
Broadcasting from the Grizzly Gold and Silver Studios, trusted by the Northwest, Montana owned. Online at grizzlygoldandsilver.com.
Serving the great state of Montana. From the peaks of the Beartooth to the banks of the Clark Fork River. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh man, I'm not even going to tell you the nickname that Stephen Ballantyne has for California Governor Gavin Newsom, because he's on the phone lines, and we're going to get to him and here in just a second. But I told Travis, our producer, I said, man, how have I never heard that nickname for California Governor Gavin Newsom before? All right. First, the scene setter. Then we'll get exclusive reaction from Stephen Ballantyne here on Montana Talks. Getting exclusive reaction from folks all across Montana, especially the great reactions of Stephen Ballantyne. All right. I briefly mentioned this story yesterday. Florida officials on Tuesday confirming that the state of Florida was behind the transportation of South American illegal aliens to Sacramento on two recent flights. Let's see. We've got a report, I think, out of California, thanks to our friends at Fox News Radio.
We have learned that out of the 36 migrants that have been flown here to Sacramento, four of them have already been reunited with family. Two of them actually had family in the Bay Area, but most of these people do not even have any family members here in the U.S. They just have been traveling anywhere from 7 to 12 months with the hope of reaching the American dream. We're told that they are here ready to work. Right now, they are working with various people from the community, including city and county leaders, to try and assess their needs. We did hear from various faith-based leaders, some of them mentioned a story that stuck with me about how they took the migrants to church over the weekend, and when they were having the collection portion of the service, some of them, even though they have very little, if not no money on them, gave a dollar, gave what they could.
All right, there's the very flowery report from the correspondent in California trying to spin this illegal invasion in the most positive light possible. If they're here to work, why didn't they just apply for work visas and go through it the legal way? Just a thought. Exclusive reaction now from Steve in Ballantyne. Steve, great to hear from you.
Morning, Aaron. I don't know. I've been calling him nuisance for a long time because he's a big nuisance. Well, anyway, Bongino's been saying, and other people have been saying, that whoever's the front runner, or even president of the United States, the left is going to go off on them no matter who it is, okay? So yesterday on a news break, I caught it, and I don't know how many other people did, but last time I looked at the geological United States map, Florida is on the East Coast, California is on the West Coast, and Texas is in the middle. And by saying that, on a news break, they said that these two plane flights or whatever that brought these illegals into California came from the big state of Texas. So by saying that, they're thinking of doing, believe this or not, kidnapping charges against DeSantis. So, yeah. I mean, go figure.
Yeah.
If they say they came from Texas, then why are they going after DeSantis? Why aren't they going after Abbott?
Well, they're probably
because Abbott's not running for president.
They're probably getting multiple flights all over the country. Hey, my fellow illegal beagles, where are we going next? Let's go to New York City. All right, we'll get a flight there next. And then after New York, hey, let's take a bus to Montana. They're going all over. DeSantis was expecting this, too, by the way. He anticipated that absurd attack from Governor Nuisance, as you referred to him. That's a great one. I'm going to use that one now, too, all the time. I'll try to credit you for that as much as possible, Steve. If I forget, you call me out on it, right? But DeSantis did is they got video of these illegal aliens on camera signing, basically documents saying, yes, we are voluntarily hopping on this plane to California. Yes, we want to go there. So how do you voluntarily kidnap somebody? You know what I'm saying? But Governor Nuisance will do the legal gymnastics gymnastics with the truth to try to somehow justify that one. All right, Steve, great to hear from you as always. Governor Nuisance in California. He's a nuisance in the Bitterroot Valley of Montana from time to time, too. He's got